a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Let us pray. Dear God, as the Senate begins another session filled with issues that touch the lives of the citizens of South Dakota, grant that they may govern with wisdom, justice, and compassion. We continue to pray for the people of Haiti, for our servicemen and women, and for people affected by winter storms. Having faith in God does not make our troubles disappear, but it does make troubles appear less frightening because it puts them in perspective. With God's continued love for us and our continued faith, may we be given peace in unsteady times. Amen.
Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdallah, Adelstein, Ahlers, Bartling, Bradford, Brown, Dempster, Frisley, Gant, Garnos, Gillespie, Gray, Hanson, Tom, Hanson, Gary, Haverly, Heiderprim, Howie, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Jerstedt, Klochek, Knudsen, Maher, Merchant, Miles, Nelson, Nesselhoff, Nordstrup, Olson, Peterson, Roden, Schmidt, Teason, Turbeck, Berry Valley. There's a quorum present, Mr. President.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 10th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
Is there a second? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The journal is approved. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, we will administer the oath of office for those pages who were not able to be here yesterday due to the snowstorm earlier this week. So if you were not sworn in yesterday, why don't you come forward up here, please?
Yep.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name. Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of South Dakota, and will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of page according to the best of my abilities. Congratulations and welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, just a couple announcements before we move on to the regular business. Senator Klochek asked the Senate welcome to the Senate gallery a couple groups, Trip Delmont High School senior government class and their instructor, Chris Chahoy, who is also a former House page, along with them, Armour High School senior government class and their instructor, Jim Holderby, as well as Senator Klochek's page, Caitlin Roth of Delmont and Seth Beats of Trip. Please stand. Members of the Senate, Senator Turbeck Berry asks that we recognize today the South Dakota credit union professionals and volunteers from across the state. They are here representing more than 245,000 credit union members and $1.9 billion in assets. If you're here, please rise. Moving down our agenda.
Mr. President. Personal privilege?
Yes, Senator Nelson.
Thank you. Very brief story. We have a short calendar today, but I will tell you that a coincidence occurred to me this morning. On December 5th of the year 2006, I was in this building for Governor Round's budget address. I found out that day that my first grandson was born, Jonathan Thomas. A year ago, November 15th, I was in this building for my first Republican caucus, and my second grandson was born, Michael Edward. You may see there where this is going. This morning, I'm in this building, and my third grandson was born, Maxwell Preston. 7:58 this morning, Black Hills time, 7.5 pounds, 19.5 inches. Everybody's doing fine. And although I wanted to give at least 21 of you cigars, the reason you have a Heath bar on your desk is because his name is Maxwell Preston Heath. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And with respect to this body, this is the size of bar that the House got.
We will move on down the line. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Health and Human Services respectfully reports has had under consideration the nominations of Vivian Osmussen and David Volk and recommends confirmation of said reappointments. And Senate Bill 41, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day, Stanford M. Adelstein Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Taxation respectfully reports has had under consideration SB 67 and recommends said bill do pass. Tom Hansen, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on State Affairs respectfully reports has had under consideration the nomination of Ani Afrahamian, Dr. Charles Shank, Mark Roby, Gary Grittner, Bruce Rampelberg, Mark Johnston, Stanley Porch, Jeffrey Erickson, Glenn Kane, Raymond Wall, and Wayne Shanks, and recommends confirmation of said appointments, and the nominations of Thomas Adam, Casey Peterson, and Mark Trikowski, and recommends confirmation of said reappointments, and House Bill 1049, and recommends said bill do pass. Thomas Dempster, Chair.
Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to transmit herewith House Bills 1013, 1016, 1021, 1024, 1026, 1029, 1031, 1032, 1037, 1039, 1045, 1061, 1063, 1065, and 1072, which have passed the House and your favorable consideration is requested. Also, Mr. President, I have the honor to transmit herewith House Concurrent Resolution Number 1004, which has been adopted by the House, and your concurrence is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Karen Gerdes, Chief Clerk.
Motions and resolutions. Senator Abdallah.
Personal privilege.
That is granted.
Thank you, Mr. President. All of you enjoyed the great lunch today in both lobbies. And I'm happy to say they're from District 10. Tony's Catering and the Brandon Chamber of Commerce. And I'd like the body to welcome the Brandon Chamber of Commerce and Tony's Catering. Thank you.
Motions and resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 1004. A concurrent resolution expressing the heartfelt condolences of South Dakotans to the people of Haiti for their losses resulting from the devastating and horrific earthquake of January 12, 2010, and also to urge the people of South Dakota to be charitable in this time of great human suffering.
House Concurrent Resolution 1004 has been waived. Referral to committee has been waived. Excuse me.
Senator Knutson moves that when we adjourn today, we adjourn to convene at 11:45 a.m. on Thursday, January 28th, the 12th legislative day.
Is there a second? Any remarks? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Order of business number 10, introduction, first reading, and referral of Senate bills and joint resolutions.
Senate Bill 104, an act to revise certain provisions regarding disclosure of public information and public meetings. Senate Bill 106, an act to authorize the Board of Regents and the Building Authority to contract for construction of classroom facilities at the University Center in Sioux Falls to replace facilities leased from the Sioux Falls School District and to make an appropriation therefor. Senate Bill 111, an act to prohibit certain outside employment and compensation by presidents of state institutions of higher education. Senate Bill 112, an act to regulate compensation for certain outside activities by certain state officers and employees. Senate Bill 113, an act to require the Board of Regents to formulate and promulgate a regental policy on outside employment by institutional officers and employees. Senate Bill 114, an act to authorize municipalities to include flexible spending accounts, flexible spending account debit cards, and related programs and procedures with employee health insurance benefits. Senate Joint Resolution Number 3, a joint resolution proposing and submitting to the electors at the next general election an amendment to Article 6 of the Constitution of the State of South Dakota relating to the right of individuals to vote by secret ballot. And Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, a joint resolution proposing a constitutional amendment to combine the offices of State Treasurer and State Auditor into the single office of State Comptroller.
Those bills that were first read have been assigned to committees. Senate bills 102, 120, 122, and Senate Joint Resolution 5 to the Appropriations Committee. Senate bills 108, 116, 117, and 119 to the Commerce Committee. Senate bills 105 and 121 to the Education Committee. Senate bill 107 to the Health and Human Services Committee. Senate bills 103 and 110 to the Judiciary Committee. Senate bills 101, 109, 115, and 118 to the Local Government Committee. And Senate bills 104, 106, 111, 112, 113, and 114, and Senate Joint Resolutions 3 and number 4 to the State Affairs Committee. Moving to order of business number 11, first reading and reference of House bills and joint resolutions.
House Bill 1063, an act to repeal the responsibility of the Attorney General to fix certain liability insurance limits for sheriffs. House Bill 1065, an act to establish quarterly escrow payments for non-participating tobacco manufacturers. House Bill 1028, an act to revise certain requirements for the provisional certification of interpreters for the deaf and revise certain authority to promulgate rules concerning certified interpreters for the deaf. Deaf. House Bill 1029, an act to authorize the Board of Social Worker Examiners to deny, suspend, or revoke applications for licensure or licenses under certain circumstances and to repeal certain physical examination provisions. House Bill 1045, an act to revise the definition of anabolic steroid to provide for the scheduling of tapentadol, lacosamide, and fospropofol for controlled substances and to declare an emergency. House Bill 1021, an act to authorize the deposit of federal special education funds into the capital outlay fund for the purchase of equipment for the purpose of special education and declare an emergency. House Bill 1024, an act to repeal the requirement for school districts to have certain teaching certificates on file. And House Bill 1013, an act to authorize the Department of Education or the Department of Environment and Natural Resources to accept certain documents submitted with electronic signatures.
Those bills just read were House bills. They have passed the House and are now being first read in the Senate. Those bills have been referred to committee. House Bill 1013 has been referred to the Agricultural and Natural Resources Committee. House Bill 1037 to the Commerce Committee. House Bills 1021 and 1024 to the Education Committee. House Bills 1028, 1029, and 1045 to the Health and Human Services Committee. House Bills 1063 and 1065 to the Judiciary Committee. House Bill 1072 to the Local Government Committee. House Bills 1016 and 1061 to the State Affairs Committee, and House Bills 1031, 1032, and 1039 to the Taxation Committee. Okay. Senator Dempster, that is granted.
I'm happy to, it's deja vu all over again. I'm happy to introduce my friend, Senator Gil Ketzel, right in the back of the room.
Members of the Senate, at this time I'd ask that we be at ease for a few moments to
Senate Bill 18.
Senate Bill 18 did have its second reading yesterday and was deferred until today. For the benefit of the members and the gallery, I will read it one more time. An act to revise certain retirement provisions regarding retired members of the South Dakota retirement system who return to covered employment and to declare an emergency. Are there any remarks? Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. I bring to you Senate Bill 18 from the South Dakota Retirement System by virtue of action by the the Senate Retirement Laws Committee. This is a necessary piece of legislation. What it does is it revises the current retire, and return to work provisions. Since its beginning, South Dakota retirement system has been neutral on retire and rehire. Primarily, they believe that it was a decision and a negotiation to be made between the employer and the employee. However, a couple of things have happened recently that has changed their neutrality on the subject. First of all, it's always been suspected, but it has now been substantiated that retire and return to work costs the system money. $5.3 million last year. $5.3 million. Secondly, the Internal Revenue Service, a good friend to us all, has brought compliance measures forward regarding public plans, and they have indicated that they require a bona fide and complete severance of employment and benefits, which include health insurance. What Senate Bill 18 does is it protects the plan from IRS compliance measures by defining a minimum 3-month termination period before qualification for retirement benefits. It also makes the return to work provisions actuarially cost neutral by providing a 15% benefit adjustment and elimination of the cost of living adjustment while the retired member with an unreduced benefit is back to work. Also, while the retiree is back to work, member contributions will be allocated to a supplemental retirement plan or deferred compensation plan, much like a 401k, and the employer contributions will be allocated to the South Dakota retirement system to offset unanticipated costs to the retire return to work benefits. Senate Bill 18 also defines the effective date of retirement as the first day of the month in which the retirement benefits are payable. Further, it clarifies the definition of terminated. It also grandfathers in all members who retired and re-entered covered employment prior to the effective date of this act. And it further clarifies the certification process of employers who hire retired SDRS members. The last thing this act does is enacts an emergency clause, makes the effective date April 1st, 2010, because it is necessary to stop the bleeding of what this is costing the system. Members of the Senate, this is a necessary piece of legislation. It is costing the system money. It is an IRS requirement that I don't think this plan or individual members want to be scrutinized under. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I encourage you to support Senate Bill 18. Thank you, Mr. President.
The further remarks on Senate Bill 18. Senator Bartling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment at the desk.
Senator Bartling moves that Senate Bill 18 be amended as follows, 18RA.
Has that been distributed?
Yes, it has.
And do you wish to waive the reading?
I do.
Is there a second on the motion? There is a motion and a second. Remarks?
Mr. President, may I address the amendment and the bill?
Yes, you may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the body, first of all, on the amendment. The amendment simply amends the bill to change the 3-month waiting period for that start period for a rehire to 45 consecutive day period, and thus deletes the penalty phase, which is in, I believe, Section 2 of the Act. I do believe that, first of all, I personally don't know that we've received actually a written document or written opinion that the Internal Revenue Service has issued on the matter of the period of that break in employment. But if there is something that would say that it needs to be severed completely, I do believe the 45-day period would do that. Being an employer myself, I know that when an employee leaves, the benefits are severed, usually on the day of termination, including health insurance and other things of that nature. So personally, I believe that the 45 consecutive day period would be a sufficient time frame to meet that Internal Revenue Service code requirement. And secondly, on the phase of the penalty of the 15% for those who may rehire shortly within that 45-day period for retirement, I'm not comfortable with a body saying to individuals that you must take a 15% penalty on your money. It's money that you invested, and it was a benefit also afforded to you by your employer as they matched that contribution rate. And then for Senate Bill 18 as a fact, I'm just not comfortable with the bill as is. I am a firm believer in the retirement system. And yes, I do understand there during these economic times that it has lost some of its principle, but it is regaining it back. And we have a wonderful investment council that does a fabulous job in the investment world. And those figures, I have no doubt, will come back up to where they were and will grow substantially with the number of participants who are in the South Dakota retirement system. We are ranked number one in the nation in what they are able to do with those investments. And so, quite frankly, I just do not believe that this is an area that we need to work on at this point in time. Let's let the retirement system build itself. Let's not hinder employers, especially in rural areas, who may have difficulty filling positions as employees retire. And certainly in school districts is an area that I will make an offering in. When a teacher retires or an administrator retires, it is oftentimes very difficult to find a qualified individual who will come and fill those need areas. And so giving the district the ability to rehire a person who has been an employee for a period of time to help them until they can find a qualified individual that will move to those rural areas, I think we need to give that latitude and local control to them. And so with that, I do hope that you can support the amendment. I think it does fulfill the need that is possibly out there from the Internal Revenue Service and still protects those individuals who are retiring and may rehire. And then I hope you can kill the bill. Thank you.
Senator Knudsen.
Has that amendment been distributed? I think both Senator Dempster and I missed that.
Does everybody have the amendment?
Two of us do not. Thank you.
Are there further remarks on the Bartling amendment or Bartling motion? Senator Abdallah.
Mr. President, can I speak on the amendment and the bill?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. I support the amendment 18RA, and particularly on page 2, lines 7 through 13, where they're reducing from 100% to 85% of the retirees' benefits. Also, I sat on the committee for almost 4 hours and listened to testimony on this bill and other ones related to retirement, and I kept hearing the IRS is going to get us, and IRS, we're following IRS regulations. Not once have I seen anything in writing from the IRS. I think they're using the IRS as a boogeyman. I don't see anything where it's written where the IRS says this. We got to comply with this Senate Bill 18, and I would urge the body to support the amendment and then kill the bill.
Further remarks? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask to be able to speak to the amendment and the bill.
That is granted.
Okay. Quite frankly, I think we need to clear a few things up. When we talk about the 90-day provision that is currently in the bill, that is not just a random number that was developed by the retirement system. What the IRS has indicated is that any individual must have a full and complete severance of employment and benefits associated with that employment. Where you get to the 90 days, if you think about it, normally when you're employed, you pay for your health insurance 1 month in advance. Also under law, you're allowed to have 63 days of COBRA benefits, which are part of that employment benefit. If you add those two things up, that takes you out to 3 months or roughly 90 days. That is the reason that that is placed in that bill, to ensure that our system will have full compliance with the IRS. Quite frankly, under this amendment, if we move that to 45 days, we've really accomplished nothing, and we will not be in compliance with what the IRS requires. In order to make sure everyone understands what the ramifications of that are, our system as a whole, as a public retirement system, has to be granted a special status by the IRS, which allows you to make contributions that are not taxable. It's the same thing as an IRA for those of you who may have one of those. If there are questions about this system, the IRS has the ability to revoke that status, which would affect the entire system. Having said that, I'd also like to address the 15% reduction. Under this amendment, if that were to be attached to the bill, that would still make this a over $2 million unfunded liability in the system. In other words, the roughly 500 folks that have adopted or participated in the retire rehire policy, they're going to be subsidized by the roughly 700,000 other folks that are in the retirement system. When the retirement system allowed retire rehire to go into effect originally, they did so with the understanding that it would be revenue neutral. After several years, it's clear that that is not the case. I guess I would urge the Senate to resist this amendment and adopt the bill in its original form. Thank you.
Further remarks? Does any senator wish to speak before Senator Badala speaks a second time? Senator Badala.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a question for Senator Brown.
State your question.
Senator, you said that that 90 days wasn't picked at random. Wasn't there a discussion in the committee that at one time they talked about 120 days and one time they talked about 150 days?
Senator Brown, do you wish to respond?
Yes. You're correct, Senator Abdullah. They have looked as a system at all of the alternatives. At first, one of the options was to completely eliminate the practice. What you're probably referring to is the fact that they felt pretty strongly at one point they needed to go with a four-month window. As I indicated, those COBRA benefits are 63 days. If you do the math on that, that's obviously 3 days and 3 months. So in order to ensure that full and complete separation, they were going to go with 4 months. Due to some concerns, and largely in our education field, we felt that we could still qualify that as a full and complete termination by bringing that back down to 3 months, which would be more conducive to our annual school calendars.
Senator Badala, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, thank you, Senator Brown, but all due respect, then, it was a random pick of 90 days. And still, I want to reiterate that I have not seen anything in writing from the IRS. Nothing. No one's shown me anything that the IRS has said we have to do anything. Again, I urge this body to support the amendment and kill the bill.
Further remarks? Senator Dempster.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the body. Permission to speak to the amendment and then the bill?
That is granted.
I would urge you to defeat the amendment and to pass this bill for just a couple of very simple reasons. You can talk about actuaries. You can make this as complicated as you want to. I certainly don't have a problem with retiring and rehiring. It certainly is a wise utilization of exceptionally skilled people, and I'm going to guess we probably know the names of a lot of those exceptionally skilled people, and we're lucky to have them. The simple truth of the matter is by the time you get a letter from the Internal Revenue Service, whether it be us personally or whether it be our pension and retirement plan, it's too late. Number two, this is simply an issue of trying to drink more water than is in the glass. It doesn't make sense. Defeat the amendment, pass the bill.
Further remarks? Senator Valley.
Thank you. Permission to ask the question that may involve both the amendment and the bill?
That is granted.
First of all, I want to say that philosophically, I'm against this piece of legislation. If we need to change something, then we need to change the whole retirement law. You don't retire that soon. What's the difference? This person can go out and get a job in some other field that's outside government. So why are we saying if he stays inside government, we have some penalties? So I'm just, to me, it's just philosophically, it's incongruent to me. However, the Trump card is what's got me, and that's the IRS. And I know we've heard both sides. And this question can go either to Senator Brown or Senator Nelson, whoever can answer it. It's a two-pronged question. One, Senator Brown said it would affect the whole system. And what I need to know is how it affects the whole system. Does that mean if I'm a state employee, that now that contribution that came out of my check or whatever, that now that's taxable and then go back and require me to pay income tax on that, and that affects everyone? Or does it affect the state that they have to pay some kind of penalty or whatever? That would be that part of the question. And secondly, I'm going to ask it partially in a deference to Senator Abdullah. Is there been some guidance that's been put out? He says he hasn't seen it. And a lot of times, just like somebody says to me, I haven't seen that law yet. You know, well, we passed it. But is there some kind of guidance that's gone out there, and where is it? And if you could discuss that. So either Senator Nelson or Senator Brown that can answer that would appreciate it. Thank you.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. President. In response to your first question, Senator Valley, I would hate to paint too dark of a picture, but really what's at stake is the entire public pension system, our entire retirement system. The IRS grants the South Dakota retirement system a special status, which means that if you make contributions, those are not taxable as those go into the system. In order to do that, it has to qualify under the IRS codes. If there is scrutiny and the IRS deems that we are not in compliance, they would ultimately have the ability to remove the entire system. We would no longer be able to take non-taxable contributions into the system, which would, quite frankly, not work. I'm sure there are a number of other options that would go across the entire range. There could probably be fines that were imposed that would force us to backfill that. Most likely those fines would be imposed from the day that we were out of compliance, so we could be talking about years of fines. But I think, you know, it's difficult for us to say exactly where that would fall out, but the worst outcome is that we would lose the entire retirement system. And given the number of South Dakotans that system has benefited, I think that would be a tragedy. In regards to your second question, which was, I want to make something clear. I would imagine in a lot of folks' minds, the question is out there, we've had this policy in place for a number of years. Why has this just become an issue now? Last year, the IRS, and not necessarily because of South Dakota, but because of what has occurred in other states, they've started to pay greater scrutiny to folks that have retired because, quite frankly, they have felt that some of these other states have really misused and abused that system. So they've begun issuing guidance and starting those conversations with public pension plans probably roughly about a year ago. As far as a document, I don't have one to give to you, but I'm sure if we wanted to go to the IRS eventually, I'm sure we could find something that would indicate that.
Thank you. Senator Gray?
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I rise to talk about retire, rehire. We've all heard about it. We all know how it works. We've seen it over a number of years, people retiring, rehiring. We see it. I certainly see it in my district and peer. It's a practice where one might retire when they're 55 years old, and they go back to work, oftentimes in the same position. We see it in the Class B retirement with law enforcement officers often. They retire at age 49 or 50 or 51, and they retire and they go off and be a law enforcement officer or state government worker someplace else. Happens very frequently. It happens in our school districts throughout the state as well. I have some concerns about retire, rehire. I do, and I've enjoyed speaking with my friends at the South Dakota Retirement System. I think they're trying to look after the system. I think they've done a good job of that over the years. However, I have some concerns about this bill, and I've shared those with many of you, and I've shared those with my friends at the retirement system. My concern is this. If you make a promise to me when I'm 25 years old that I can retire when I'm 55 working for the state of South Dakota, and I choose to do that, and I decide at that point that I want to go work for a city or a school district as a teacher or administrator or a county or any number of other professions or entities that are part of the South Dakota retirement system, you are telling me that you're going to deduct 15% from the retirement that you promised me when I was 25 years old. I think that is wrong. I think we made a promise to those people, and I think it's a promise we ought to keep. If you want to get after people retiring and going back to their same job, that is fine, and I will support that. But I think it's wrong to tell somebody that we've made a promise to that you can retire, sure. But if you want to take different employment someplace, too bad. We're going to deduct 15% from your paycheck. Now, let me talk about the IRS. I believe in what they're saying about the Internal Revenue Service. I believe there needs to be 90 days or 45. I don't really care how many days it is. I believe there's some guidance there. I think that is true. However, I don't believe the sky is falling. I take the IRS pretty serious, too. But what I hear about the IRS is the sky is falling. I don't think it is. I think we can fix this without penalizing people, without breaking promises we've kept or we've made to people. And so I would urge you ultimately to defeat the bill, and let's come back with something that that makes sense. As to the motion at hand, I will support the amendment, and I would urge you to do the same.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Teason?
Permission to address the amendment and the bill?
Granted.
Thank you. Members of the body, full disclosure, you're all going to find this hard to believe, but I'm a beneficiary of the state retirement system. That's because I started in law enforcement at age 12. I fully support, as a member of the system, I fully support retire and rehire. For all the reasons that have been mentioned here today, I think it's a benefit to the retiree, I think it's a benefit to communities, I think it's a benefit to the state. I think it's a practice that we should encourage so that we can retain qualified employees that want to continue working after their retirement date. All I ask you is to not require the rest of us in the system to subsidize that action. Earlier, it was characterized that we had a 15% penalty for people that were retiring and rehiring. I submit that that's an incorrect characterization, that in fact, that is an adjustment to assure that that action is revenue neutral. Without that adjustment, the penalty comes to the rest of us that are asked to subsidize, retire, rehire. I would ask you not to do that. I'll ask you to defeat the amendment and then to approve the bill. Thank you.
Further debate? Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also urge you to defeat the amendment because it does defeat the two major points of the bill, and that is the 90-day separation and the making the system cost neutral. I will also address that Senator Abdallah's concerns and Senator Valley's question regarding the IRS. The IRS is very specific, and I think I can quote it almost verbatim, is that there must be a complete severance of employment and benefits. Senator Brown illustrated it well. 30 days in prepaid insurance, 63 days. The 90 days was not taken out of thin air. Further, the 15%, again, is not a penalty. It is an adjustment. And most, the average, final average compensation for Class A retirees who've retired since 2004 and returned to work is 15% higher than the average person that has retired. And also on that, the 15% is generally eaten up by health insurance if they return to work. That should be a wash. So again, that number hasn't come out of thin air either. And one other thing. Retire, return to work is not a policy and never has been a policy of the South Dakota retirement system. It happened. I won't call it a loophole. I won't call it anything derogatory. It just happened. And the retirement system chose to be neutral on it because it was employee-employer decision. And so with that, I urge you to defeat the amendment because it defeats the purpose of the bill. And then I ask you to pass the bill as it is.
Thank you, Senator. Further debate on the Bartling Amendment. Senator Abdallah.
Thank you, Mr. President. I hate to repeat myself, but I'm doing it for a point. Number one, again, we have not heard anything, read anything from the IRS. And who in this room believes, even if it's true, that the IRS is going to come in and put everybody in the retirement system in jail? They're going to come in and say, you're doing this wrong, you've got to make a correction, if that's the case. I don't believe it is. I mentioned in caucus, to the Republican caucus, and for reasons I don't want to embarrass him in public, I gave you a great example of a person that retired and was rehired, and there's no one in this state more qualified for the job he holds now than the person I mentioned. So there is merit to it. And lastly, I wasn't going to mention this. If you think this is going to cure anything and resolve the retire and rehire thing, you're nuts. This is just a bill to take care of Joe Sixpack. If they want somebody rehired, and I got evidence of it, and I know most of the people in this body know that I have evidence, they appoint them as consultants, and that does not address anything in this bill. So if they want to bring them back, they'll bring them back as consultants and beat the IRS and everybody else you're talking about. This bill is no good.
Thank you, Senator. Further debate on the Bartling Amendment. Senator Brown.
Well, Senator Abdallah, ask and you shall receive. You question where this is coming from in terms of the IRS. That happens to be Revenue Ruling 57-115 of the Internal Revenue Service. I assumed that you would.
Further debate on the Bartling Amendment. Senator Bartling.
Mr. President, may I ask a question of the sponsor of the bill? It is relative to the amendment.
Go ahead.
Senator Nelson, I'd like to propose a scenario. We have a teacher who is on a 12-month pay schedule. They retire from School District A, and they are hired by School District B, who, if they are on that 12-month pay schedule, they, you know, are done being paid, say, June 30th. They are hired August 1st by School District B. Are they then subject to the penalization? They cannot return, they can't work for School District B because of that 30-day period? Thank you, Mr.
President. Senator Nelson, do you wish to answer the question?
To the best of my knowledge, that is correct.
Senator Bartling, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, there is a scenario that I think could put some employers in a situation that it might find some difficulty. It's a teacher that is retiring from School District A, going to School District B with the 30-day period and, you know, the waiting period. I think that could probably cause a problem or would cause a problem for School District B because they need that teacher in that classroom much sooner than that three-month period. So I think it's an issue that we really do need to address. And then I do thank Senator Gray for his comments. Those are promises that are made. They are benefits earned by the individuals. Please support the amendment and then defeat the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further debate on the Bartling Amendment? Seeing none, those in favor of the roll call has been requested. Is he supported? He is supported. So we are voting on the Bartling Amendment 18RA, and the Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah?
Aye.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Ahlers?
No.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
No.
Dempster?
No.
Frisley?
No.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
No.
Gray?
Aye.
Hanson Tom? Hanson Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
No.
Heideprim? Howie?
No.
Hunstead?
No.
Hunhoff?
No.
Jurstead?
No.
Klocek?
No.
Knudsen?
Aye.
Maher?
No.
Merchant?
No.
Miles?
No.
Nelson?
No.
Nesselhoff?
No.
Norstrup?
No.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Roden?
No.
Schmidt? Teason?
No.
Trebek Berry?
No.
Valley?
No.
Mr. President, there are 11 ayes, 23 nays, 1 excused.
So the motion has failed. We are now on Senate Bill 18, as introduced. Further debate? Seeing none, Senate Bill 18 requires a two-thirds vote, and the Secretary will call the roll.
As soon as my computer catches up.
Senator Abdullah?
No.
Adelstein?
No.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling?
No.
Bradford?
No.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
No.
Garnos?
No.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray?
No.
Hanson Tom? Hanson Gary?
No.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heideprim?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Jurstead?
Aye.
Klocek?
Aye.
Knudsen?
No.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Miles?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Norstrup?
Aye.
Olson?
No.
Peterson?
Roden? Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Trebek Berry?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 24 ayes, 10 nays, 1 excused.
So Senate Bill 18, having received a two-thirds vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct.
Senate Bill 21, an act to revise certain provisions regarding exclusive benefit requirements and the range of investments available to the South Dakota Retirement System Member Trust Fund.
Senate Bill 21, having had its second reading, is now up for final consideration. Are there any remarks? Senator Knudsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I think Senate Bill 21 raises some fundamental policy questions. There has also been a bill that has been circulating for sign-up sheets that I think will be introduced tomorrow, which will relate somewhat to the same subject matter as Senate Bill 21. And I think it would be appropriate to have these policy issues heard in the State Affairs Committee. So I would move that we refer Senate Bill 21 to the State Affairs Committee.
There is a motion and a second to refer Senate Bill 21 to the State Affairs Committee. Are there any further remarks? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion carries.
Senate Bill 35, an act to require the policyholder's signed acceptance for endorsements that reduce or eliminate coverage upon certain health insurance policy issuance.
Senate Bill 35, having had its second reading, is now up for final consideration. Are there any remarks? Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. I think for the first 10 days I didn't get out of this chair. I've been awful busy today, though. Senate Bill 35 was introduced to Commerce Committee on behalf of the Department of Revenue and passed unanimously. Current law for an individual health insurance policies is that the policyholder must agree in writing before the insurer can reduce benefits in the policy. However, the Supreme Court ruled that exclusionary endorsements reducing benefits were only required to be signed by the policyholder if the endorsement was issued subsequent to the policy issuance. Therefore, exclusionary endorsements or riders issued as part of the original policy were not required to have the policyholder's written agreement. This puts the consumers at a great disadvantage. Rather than getting the full coverage applied for, the consumer can instead be issued a policy which excludes coverage for pre-existing conditions, an exclusion they may not have agreed to and may not have even noticed. With a requirement for written acceptance of the endorsement, the policyholder agrees to the exclusion and at the same time has the notice of the existing exclusionary endorsements. This legislation clarifies the language of the statute so the policyholders must agree to changes to in the policy regardless of when the endorsement or the rider is issued. Most individual health insurers already require policyholder signatures for any endorsement reducing benefits. This will ensure that this vital procedure is incorporated for all individual health insurers. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage your passage of Senate Bill 35.
Further remarks on Senate Bill 35? Further remarks? Hearing none. Question before the Senate is the final consideration of Senate Bill 35. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah?
Aye.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hanson-Tom? Hanson-Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heideprim? Howie?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Jurstead?
Aye.
Klocek?
Aye.
Knudsen?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Miles?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Trebek-Berry?
Aye.
Valley? Mr. President, there are 34 ayes, one excused.
Senate Bill 35, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct. That concludes our business today. Are there announcements? Senator Knudsen.
Mr. President, thank you. First of all, I remind members on the Republican side, we'll have a Republican caucus at 11:30. I would also remind members one more time that by coming in at 11:45 tomorrow morning, that means the deadline for turning in bills under the unlimited introduction rule is 9:45, that they have to be turned into the front desk, just as a reminder.
Thank you, Senator Knudsen. Yes, 9:45 deadline to Carolyn up here for your bills tomorrow. Senator Abdallah.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Judiciary at 7:45 tomorrow morning, room 413. We got a big schedule, so we'd like everybody there on time. 7:45, 413 tomorrow.
Thank you. Further announcements? Senator Garnas.
Tomorrow morning, 7:30, Senate Education. Thank you.
Was that 8:30, Senator Garnas?
7:30 Central Time.
7:30,
Senator,
okay.
Thank you.
Further announcements. Senator Olson.
Senate Commerce Room 423 tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
Further announcements. Senator Roden.
Thank you. Senate Ag and Natural Resources tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. Thank you.
And Senator Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Joint Appropriation Committee will meet 15 minutes today after the last House goes out of session. We'll be meeting in LRC 1, and we'll meet again tomorrow as the Senate appropriators look at individual bills tomorrow at 8 o'clock in LRC 2. Thank you.
Are there further announcements? Further announcements? Seeing none, a motion to adjourn is in order.
Senator Gillespie moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
There's a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. We are adjourned.